Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about the Gill House ghosts with Brenda Trish, Jane Baker, and Mary Butterfield. I've heard that the basement is a pretty active location. Is that the most active location?
That and the attic, I think, are the two main ones. Then some on the second floor. Not a whole lot on the first floor. In the dining room where we're at right now, we've gotten quite a bit of stuff.
Now, Mary, have you also had experiences in the home?
Many.
You want to share a few of them?
Well, one thing you would ask is who is here in the house? And we know that Johnny Cake makes an appearance. One night there was a group here and we were using different equipment. And through the course of the evening, I did kind of a roll call and asked, you know, Bloomer, are you here? Nellie, are you here? You know, Dean, Bonnie, Ava. And I got a message of some sort that all of them were still here in some capacity.
That's interesting. But not surprising either. I could see how they would be attached to it.
But yes, I have had experiences. I have a couple that are pretty cool. Yeah, one night I was sitting here with one of the other paranormal investigators. We were sitting here. We were back away from the table. We weren't touching it or anything like that. And we had a cat ball on the table. And I said, Dean, I somehow think that you guys would have been the social group of the three sets of residents. And I would think that in this big, beautiful dining room that you would be here. So I said, if you're here, you know, hit the cat ball. And it went off immediately. And Joe said, oh, man, I didn't have my camera on. And I'm like, let's give it a whirl, see what happens. And I pretty much asked the same question, and the cat ball went off. And he got it on video.
You said it, then it goes off. Like, it could go off at any time. But it was like it was answering your question. We're here.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
In because I was reading that a lot of these investigative teams have picked up on tons of activity in the house.
I think with anything that sometimes, you know, if you come in with a really open mind, you're going to have more experiences. Some people have more experiences than others. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a cold night or not much going on, and sometimes there's a lot. But I feel people that just walk in the door and say, okay, let's see what's going on here, that pretty much they'll get some kind of activity throughout the evening.
And it seems like I had read that children's voices have been heard in the house.
And that would be my story. Several years ago, Jane, my husband and I were just kind of doing our own little investigation in the house. And we were up in the attic. And I was like, I could hear kids playing like a Ring Around the Rosie type game. You know, kids don't play that game anymore.
No.
And I'm like, I said to them, did you hear that? And Jane and Jim said no. And Jane very quietly went from window to window looking to see if there were any kids even outside. And there weren't. And then as some time passed, we eventually ended up in the basement. And I heard those same voices in the basement.
Was anybody else able to hear them, or was it primarily just you?
That night it was just me, but it was as clear as you and I talking right now.
Do you think that would be the Gill kids, or maybe it could have even been children that go back before that house was even built, you know, and just living on that land?
Well, when the other house sat here, the girls, Mary, Isabel, and Ina, would have been young. So it could be them. I forget what it's called, where it happens over and over.
Like a residual, yeah. haunting. That could certainly be. Has there ever been, because you said that you don't feel that there's anything malicious in the home. Does it feel scary at all, or is it?
After us. They all know us, so we're not scared at all.
See, I would go in, and if I saw Johnny Cake, I don't know that I could go back. That would really scare me. But I think that, you know, when you do spend a lot of time there, you kind of get to know them, and they get to know you. Do you feel like that's happened in the home?
Yeah. I would say most definitely Johnny Cake shows up when Jill's or when Jane's around. I have more connection with Jimmy, but not Jimmy as an adult, Jimmy as a 13-year-old.
Oh, that's interesting.
One evening, we were doing an investigation, and somebody had an ovulus, and they kept on getting hugs, kisses, you know, and down, kept on coming up repeatedly. So we said, do you want us to go downstairs? And it said yes. So we went down to the basement, and we put on a spirit box, and we asked who it was, and it said Jimmy. My husband was Jim, so we thought maybe him, but it was definitely Jimmy. So then we asked through the ovulus, how old are you? And it said 13. But it kept on saying hugs and kisses. And hugs and kisses. So one of the women in the group put her hand up and said, you know, you can touch me if you want. And she said she got a sensation in her hand. But then we kept on getting hugs and kisses, and it kept on coming up. And finally I said, Jimmy, I'm a mom. If you feel like you need a hug and a kiss, come over to me and you can give me a hug. And I'd say, like a minute later, the temperature dropped and my whole body was tingling and head to toe. And I held it for what seemed like a long time, but it was probably only like 10 seconds or 7 seconds, and shook it off, and then it was gone.
Jimmy James was Bloomer and Nellie's son.
That is correct.
And how, because he was an adult, right? He lived into adulthood. He didn't pass as a child, did he?
No, he did not. In fact, we have his wedding suit here that he was married in. And so definitely he was an adult. But it seemed like maybe that age of 13 was where he was comfortable at.
Right. It could have been the happy time.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the three daughters are there?
Personally, I have not had much experience with them, no.
The three of us have not had anything with the daughters, but a couple of the groups that have been here have brought up a couple, you know, who's Mina, who's Isabel. I'm like, what? But they got the names. I don't know if it's true or not, but I don't know. We have personally not dealt with them.
And it could be too that Jimmy is comfortable like your mom. He's relating to that. And the girls, you know, sometimes I don't know what happens. I'd love to, but it's like maybe they come and go. Maybe they're there sometimes. And sometimes they're not. I mean, it seems like you could move from place to place, or you could just move on completely.
Brenda is reminding me that Jimmy actually stayed in Galleon, and the three girls actually moved away from Galleon. And Brenda and I actually knew Jimmy's wife.
Yeah, not. I didn't go to the library as
often. Oh, she used to be our town librarian, and when we were little, and I knew her then, but we never met Jimmy.
And you had mentioned the attic, and I saw in the video that I watched, the attic was interesting to me because there was like a basketball goal up there, a hoop, and like there was swimming. They had a cistern or something up there.
Yeah, there's a backboard that says B.B. Gill, Galleon, Ohio on it. And the Gills had a large tank in the attic that they collected rainwater for cleaning things. And Jimmy was known to go up there with a couple of his friends and play in the water.
You know, and it could be that Jimmy just loved that house so much that he never did want to leave. Probably being 13 and you got basketball upstairs, swimming upstairs in the attic, which I had never heard of that in any other home, that maybe he just is so connected to it.
Have you ever been here before?
No, I would love to.
Oh, wait till you see the attic.
And it's huge. It looks huge.
It's a whole house.
Yeah, the entire floor.
Anytime a male ghost hunter goes up there, it goes, gosh, this is the ultimate man cave.
Is it finished at all, or it's not really finished? I mean, if you're playing basketball up there, this is not really a finished room.
No, it's not. But there's a lot of room in there. We did have to tape off the middle part because the boards were pretty bad, and I thought it was from the tank I had up there with the water and everything. I could be wrong, I don't know, but it scared me, so I took it off.
I didn't get that part.
What was Jane was mentioning is in the attic, there's a section that we've had to tape off because the floor is kind of soft.
Oh, and we figured that makes sense.
Right. We figure it's probably the cistern, the weight of the water, and also maybe the splashing and stuff like that. So we have had to cordon that off and ask our guests not to go in there.
Which is why don't see a lot of houses with that, because of that reason right there.
We also think that Bloomer Gill went there maybe as a reprieve to get away from everyone else in the house. And with that, we have had experiences with Bloomer being in the attic.
So it was kind of like an original man cave.
Yes.
Now, what about Mother Talbot and her daughter-in-law and her son? Do you think that they're still in the house? Because that's an interesting dynamic that would have been rather territorial. They're, you know, it just seems like tension. Do you pick up on any of that in the house?
I personally think that the mother-in-law, Eva, is definitely here. And all the groups come down recording, Jane, listen to this. And it's her talking. So I know she's for sure here.
Maybe the daughter was like, I was with her in life. I do not want to be with her in the afterlife.
It could be.
We also believe that she is the only one to actually die in the house.
Oh, so she could be very connected to it then. Because maybe she was a delightful woman who just didn't get along with her daughter-in-law. That could happen. But is it what kind of energy do they pick up on her with her?
Good energy.
Okay. So, because when you hear that story, you think obviously the two women were very difficult, and who knows, it would have been an interesting way to live. To the point you have to build a wall, you know, there could have been just an interesting dynamic between the two of them. And mom really did love the house.
I think they do enjoy the when we have paranormal guests. I think they like to have people coming in and visiting and seeing their home and how beautiful it is. I think they're very happy with that. And I think that's something you see with Eva.
That makes some sense because, you know, in its heyday, from what I read anyway, there was a lot of social activities there and bringing people in and do and events and things that they would have in the house. And everyone who walked in would be, oh, look at how beautiful this is. And people still are doing that. And you would be proud of that.
And one night we asked them if they were happy with the restoration that we have done. And I think that was in a flashlight session. And we got, you know, immediate, the light went on, signifying yes, they did.
I would think they'd be so grateful to you for coming in and saving the house. I mean, crying out loud, it could have been a Taco Bell. I mean, you literally saved that house. And so as we've been talking, have you picked up on any activity on the equipment?
I saw the K2 go once to yellow, but it was ever so fast. But nothing else is going off right now.
I would love to come in sometime because I'd love to see it during the day too, just architecturally, because it's just so beautiful that I would want to really experience the house. It'd be fun to go in there at night and during the day to really get a feel for it, because I would imagine the mood is much different at night. I mean, it's nighttime. You'd probably be in there for paranormal investigative reasons. So it's going to be a different energy than I think you would experience during the day.
I think as somebody who's hunting ghosts, it's just typical to feel like you need to do it at night. But yeah. I know that we've had experiences in the daylight too. So I don't know that I feel a big difference.
I don't.
No, Brenda and Jane agree with me on that.
Because, I mean, it's 24/7. A spirit's not leaving. You know, it's like you can experience it during the day just as easily as at night. Sometimes I think at night, though, you know, the whole world is quieter. And so there's not as much traffic going by and outside noises and distractions that you could really focus on the house and what you might find there.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you?
Yes, the house is situated on right off the main street that goes through Galleon, which is named Harding Way, after a local president.
Was he from, was President Harding from Galleon?
He was born in a small crossroad called Blooming Grove. Literally today, there's a few houses and that's it. There's nothing else there. He was married here in Galleon, but Marion, Ohio claims him because I guess that's where he lived.
Help me get this story straight. Did he know the Gill family?
I don't think that we do know that. We just assume that because of the Gills being, you know, socially and economically well-to-do, that he might have been here and might have been a part of that circle, but we haven't found anything to actually document that. But we assume that he was probably here at some point.
Where he grew up wasn't too far away, right?
Oh, about 4 miles out of town.
Yeah. And it seems like once, especially, you know, his political career has taken off, he's the guy everybody wants to be friends with. So it does seem like there would be interactions between them.
Now, I suppose so. Particularly since we know that Henry Ford and Thomas Edison and Harvey Firestone, those were big names for the time.
Yeah.
So, and that they were here for the day of his funeral.
Now, if someone wants information on coming to visit the house, do you also do during the day? I'm just assuming, but you do historical tours and you can come tour the house and maybe do a paranormal investigation too. Both things are open.
Typically during the summer months, we have tours that on. It varies either at Saturday or Sunday from like 1 to 3. But if anybody really would want to have a tour, they can contact us. And most of us will do private tours for donation because everything goes to the house.
Absolutely.
The paranormal, we do we have the paranormal tours that, you know, the groups can come in, and they start at 6 in the evening and go till 2 in the morning. And once it gets warmer, most weekends we have bookings for somebody to be here.
And if people want to get information on that, where's the best place to get the information?
We have a Facebook page. It's Gill House. We have a Gill House Facebook page. We also have a Gill House Paranormal page. On either one of those pages, you can private message, and I'm the one that monitors that. I'm the one that does all the bookings for the paranormal hunts. And we also have an email also, but most of the stuff is done via Facebook.
And you get in the emails right there on the Facebook page. I think that's how I reached out to you guys, was through the email that I found.
Oh,
there.
Yeah. And the phone number that's listed is actually my number. So if you phone or text, I might just say hello, and you'll wonder is this a Gill House or not? But most
who
people say,
am I talking to?
But or texting, I respond to all that stuff and try and respond as soon as possible.
Well, I want to say thank you so much for chatting about the Gill House. I want to come see it. It just is so beautiful. It's just one of those houses that just, I look at the pictures of it and I'm just drawn to it. It's just quite incredible to me.
It is.
You guys are lucky to get to spend time there like that.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to each of you for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for reaching out.
And that wraps up our conversation about the Gill House with board members Brenda Trish, Jane Baker, and Mary Butterfield. If you'd like more information, just search for the Gill House Paranormal page on Facebook. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, then become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks, and you'll find everything there, also all ad free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.